Okay. We're going to start Sefer Shemot. And we'll be on page 4 in the left column. The year would be Tafresh Lamed Beis. Now, Rashi Nimshul Kochavim. Rashi writes here that the Jewish people are compared to stars. Hashem counted the Jewish people before, toward the end of Bereishis. Why did he count them again, beginning of Shemot? Famous question. So Rashi says we're compared to stars, that he brings them out and he takes them in by name. So, you got it? Now, there might be a little bit of a different printing. It might not be on page 4, Livia, or on yours. You guys have the same. It's kind of a new edition. Look for the year, Tafresh Lamed Beis.
Okay.
And it says Barashi Nimshalu. No, it's that one. Right there.
It starts the same way.
Same way, right? Tafresh Lamed Beis. So Rashi also continues today, it's also to make known the love of the Jewish people, that they're compared to stars. Svatemis writes, to who is it being made known? Who is this, who's the recipient of this knowledge that the Jewish people are precious to God? Vada libnei Yisrael Aslan. He says it's the Jewish people themselves. As God is telling this fact, that we are precious like stars to us. We're the ones who are reading the Torah, we're learning the Torah, so Hashem, by including that, is making that known to Bnei Yisrael. Leida kol echad, ki hu bichlal tzvorei Hashem. So each person should know that they are included in the hosts of Hashem, all those things that are part of Hashem's precious plan. Ukamo kochavim hamayirim belaila. Now the next step of the mimer. Just as the stars shine davka at nighttime, kein nishtalchu b'nei Yisroel b'mitzrayim, so too the Jewish people were sent to Mitzrayim. Sheyim su haheora gam shama. We're on page 4, Mark. In the middle of the left, Tafresh Lamed Beis. To find light even there, even in Mitzrayim. So just like the stars shine davka at nighttime, we who are compared to stars are sent to a very dark place, Mitzrayim. And we will shine there as well. The Yadua, it is known, Kimalach Shemo Hashem Hashlichu, that an angel's name has to do with its task. So for example, the angel Raphael, his task is Refuah, it's healing. Gavriel, his task is Gavura. So the Malach is named for his shlichut, his messengership. Ubnei Yisrael, yesh lahem gam kein shema. We too, the Jewish people, we have names as well. So the Torah begins counting our names, Ruvein, Shimon, Levi. L'kol echad, al shem hashlichut. And it has to do with the mission that we're sent to this world to accomplish. So far, just a little recap, because his ideas go in a chain, that Hashem has made his love known to us like stars. He's making it known davka to us, the Jewish people. We have to know this, that we have a place in God's plan. We're like stars. Why is that mashal used here at the beginning of Shemot? Just like stars shine at nighttime, so we too, we're going to shine even in the Mitzrayim and Galus. And the name that we have has to do with the mission we have in the world. Ach, kizeh ha-hefrish, but there is a distinction between the name of a malach and the name of a Jewish person. Sheshlichus ish Yisroel lihiyos kamo shenish taleach v'li shinui. This is the Tal order. He says, when a Jewish person is sent into this world, we are to be true to our mission without any wavering and without any change whatsoever.
How is that a distinction from
You'd think that would be like a malach, right? That's how we would define a malach, right? I find it a puzzling statement. Let's go a little by Jim. Maybe we'll get some insight into it. V'zeh atzmo ritzono yisborach. This is truly God's will, that we should be true to our mission and therefore true to our name. Ulamayla nizkaru shemosa says the names of the Jewish people, they have already been mentioned above, up there in Shemayim, in the heavens, our names have been called out. But perhaps the idea there is that there's a mission which we have to accomplish here. It's connected to our name. That name has already been proclaimed in Shemayim before we get here. What our mission is, what our name is, it's been announced up above. The Ato, and now, Nichtav Shemosam. Now it's written into the Torah. That's the way it's translated into this world. Kigam b'Mitzrayim, Hayu b'Shemos Halalu. That even in Egypt, we had our names. So it's a little deeper insight into that Chazal, that one of the things that Jewish people didn't change was their names. Right? The pshat is that they had Jewish names. What he says, as far as Samus, it means that we were loyal to our task. V'lo nishtanu. And we didn't change. Now, I think what this may mean is that even though it appears that a person fluctuates and goes through all the ups and downs of life, and goes up and goes down, but when it's all over, we will see that the Jewish people have accomplished their task. And that even though we were sent up above and it looks like maybe we're failing our mission, maybe we're succeeding our mission, and it's hard to tell from one day to the next, but when everything is played out, it will be shown that we've been loyal to our name, and we've been loyal to our task. That's the Hashgacha over Klal Yisrael. And I think that's why it's associated with Mitzrayim. Because look what happened to us in Mitzrayim. We went on a horrible decline down to the 49th gate of Tuma. Went all the way down. Yeah, what does he say there? That like stars who shine at night, we shone in Mitzrayim. That's shining? But we emerged from Mitzrayim. We got out of there, and that was part of the development of our people, and the Hashgacha was that had to be part of our experience. So somehow, even that experience, and what appears to be a decline in this world, sof dovor, in the end of things, it will be shown that indeed we were loyal to our task. And that's the beauty of the Jewish people. I think that's what he may be saying. That we shine even in the darkness, even though we're not even aware of it. And it looks like we're not. Any questions there? Questions, sir? I am clear?
But something to understand. Most
yeah.
They know, we don't know what the name was. Yeah.
That's true.
I wonder how all that happened. Moshe was different.
Not necessarily. Right. He had a number of names. Tuvia was one of his names, Avigdor Moshe. So the Chachamim do mention his name. Now also sometimes people have a Yiddish name, right? And that's not Lashon Kodesh, although some people say it is. I think the idea is that everything has its source in Lashon Kodesh. So even when something is called by a different name, different language, if it's a Yiddish thing, it has its source in Torah. It may not be known to us, but it does.
So,
Yeah. Right. Moshe. I mean, we would consider that a Jewish name. And Min Hamayim Mishisihu, I drew him out of the water. That's a Hebrew word. Mishisihu. That's Hebrew.
Where does she know?
Good question. So the question is, did she name him an Egyptian name and then the Torah is telling us what it was in Hebrew? That there is an opinion like that. Or did somehow she just know how to name him, which is also possible because she was a great woman.
Yeah.
And she was a righteous woman, despite her surroundings.
Kind of interesting contrast here. The two ways of kind of alluding to the kind of Jewish people are the stars in the sky and the grains of sand.
Yes.
When you think of Mitzrayim, I think of sand anyway. Rashi uses the
stars. Very good. You're right. That's really the first thing you would think of it about Mitzrayim.
And maybe the heifer between Bnei Israel and Rachim is God willing, we fulfill our mission, and we have choices not to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's what he's alluding to.
A malach never changes,
right,
and they're perfectly static. No fluctuation whatsoever. We fluctuate, we go up and down, we struggle in life, and yet somehow we don't change. We're loyal to our mission, which is greater than a malach. Now that question is asked also when it says about Aaron HaKohen that he did everything that Moshe commanded to from Hashem, and then Rashi says Vahagi Shavacho Shel Aaron Shelo Shina, to tell us Aaron's praise, he didn't change a thing. That's such a big thing. Moshe Rabbeinu tells you something in the name of God and you say, okay, I'm going to do it without changing anything. That seems to be pashut. But I think it's a similar idea. That once you get involved in your task and how to do it and how to plan it out and how to carry it out, it's very hard not to change and to remain loyal to the task. You lose sight of the task in the midst of the mission. And the godless of Klal Yisrael is that it appears like we lost sight of the task in the midst of the mission, but we really didn't, and we came out with our names intact.
What you had asked a few minutes ago, that whole question of Malachim and Bnei Yisrael and the idea of being static and not static with men. You can still come out the same way. The difference is, one, if you're static, you're not going up, you're not going down.
Right.
There's no change going on around you. So being the same, having no internal influence is affecting you,
mm-hmm,
doesn't mean very,
mm-hmm,
much.
Mm-hmm.
But starting out in one place and ending up the same place, even though you seem to be going up and down,
right,
that's the contrast.
Right.
So I think that was what he was, mm-hmm, getting at. That seemingly contradicted your statement, mm-hmm, earlier.
I think the idea is that here about Bnei Yisrael not changing doesn't mean to be stagnant, but it means to be loyal to our task. And that's how Bnei Yisrael are different than Malachim. We have to prove out a loyalty to our task. Malachim just are that. That's just what they are. That's it. They're nothing else. And for us, that's it's very big to be loyal to our task, because it becomes very difficult to do. Let's take a look on page 6 now. Different mimer. Page 6 will be in the right, on the right column, the third paragraph. And in the other sforim, it's the last paragraph of the year Tuf Resh Lamed Dalet. Right before the year Tuf Resh Lamed Hay. So we're back to 1874 in this mimer. Isa, Ki Moshe Rabbeinu Aleihi Shalom Tikkun Li B'nei Yisrael Shabbos B'Mitzrayim. It is brought down that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to arrange it so that the Jewish people had Shabbos in Mitzrayim. And we didn't have to work on Shabbos. I don't believe so. It's a Chazal, but I don't remember seeing it in Rashi. Af ki adayim lo nitin lohem ha-Shabbos, even though we know that Shabbos was not yet given, the Torah wasn't really given yet, but there was still the concept of Shabbos that was known about by our earlier great people. Says the Avos kept the Torah too. Rak ba'avur, ki b'nei Yisrael shovsim b'Shabbos Kodesh. When the Jewish people fulfill the idea, the reality of rest on Shabbos, rejuvenation on Shabbos, ein makom sheyishlatu aleihem ha'umos ovdei elilim. It is then not possible for other nations to have complete dominance over us. So when Moshe Rabbeinu was able to get B'nai Yisrael off for the day of Shabbos, it was about keeping Shabbos, and it was also about protecting us from being completely dominated by Mitzrayim.
What's
the Shabbos? Pardon me?
What's Elilim?
Elilim is idols. Ovdei Elilim. Ki kol shalitasan al yidei hamalachos ve'uvdin b'chol. Because the dominance that the non-Jewish people can have over us has to do with the weekday world and the world of Malacha. Shebnei Yisrael Osin, and when we are involved in that world, Ayideza Nitin Lehem Koach Lishlod Alehem. It's through that medium of the weekday of Malacha that the nations of the world are able to have Koach over us. Ubishabis Ein Lehem Shlita. But on Shabbos, there is no dominance. There is no koach. Meaning to them. Ukemosha kasuv hama'anig es ha-Shabbos nostim lo nachala li mitzorim. One who gives delight to Shabbos, they give him a portion which knows no limitations. You could read that as b'li mitzorim, right? Same word. V'yidei Shabbos Zochuli Geula, and through Shabbos, B'nai Yisrael were Zocha to be redeemed. Kamoshikos Ruzal, Shenis Asfu B'Shabbos Kodesh, Venis Oru B'Tshuv. I don't know where this Chazal is, but he says the Chachamim say the Jewish people used to gather together on Shabbos in Mitzrayim, in Egypt, and they would awaken and inspire themselves to do tshuva. So that was their day, you might say, spiritual gathering. V'chein, and likewise, v'goluseinu ata, in our exile now, shenishalonu ha-Shabbos, what do we have? We have Shabbos. Shebnei Yisroel manichin kol iskehem b'Shabbos, that the Jewish people let go of all of their pursuits when it comes to Shabbos, and then the Shabbos protects us. V'lachein b'Shabbos nikra cherus. Therefore, it is said that on Shabbos we are truly free. We're liberated. She'ein aleihem ol hagolus. Because the yoke of exile is not upon us on Shabbos. It's a type of geula. V'kemo shekasuv ha-mekabel ol Torah ma'avir mimenu ol golios. As it says, one who accepts upon him the yoke of Torah, they will remove from him the yoke of exile. V'derech Eretz, and also having to be involved in the world. V'yideza nitzke l'geula v'mhera b'yameinu amein. And through this we can be zocha to the, we will be zocha to the geula speedily in our days. So the focus here is that Shabbos is a shmirah for the Jewish people. And when we keep the Shabbos, we're protected from the nations of the world. When we're involved in the world of Chol, we become vulnerable to the nations of the world. And just like in B'nai Yisrael, the paradigm there for the rest of our history, that's the first kind of galus, is that Shabbos there kept us alive, kept our ruach, and kept our spirits going. We gathered together on Shabbos, and that protected us from them. So too, in any galus, what brings the Jewish people together is the Shmiras HaShabbos, is the keeping of the Shabbos. I think it's very clear to see that.
Yeah, it's just interesting. I'm remembering Pelley Yoes, I think it was last week, where he was talking about
keeping whole, right? And you know, being, you know, selecting out of whole, bringing the kedusha, being borer, selecting kedusha out of whole. And it, I think it ties in nicely here, but the way we protect ourselves from the being the domination of the world around us is by being involved in kedusha, right? Of course, Shabbos is cool with kedusha, but even during a weekday, there's a way of
ending kedusha,
separating yourself, mm-hmm. keeping yourself from being dominated by that.
Right.
So, you know, it's a similar idea.
Very good. And also what the Pelayowicz said there a few weeks back is that it's much harder to keep whole than it is to keep Shabbos.
Right.
Because it's hard to get, it's too, so easy to get stuck in the world of whole, and Shabbos has its own atmosphere. And maybe that's this vulnerability that the Tzfas Emes is relating here, that it's in that world of Malacha and in that world of whole that we become so vulnerable to the domination of the non-Jewish world. But when we retreat back into the world of Shabbos, then we are much more protected and we're much less vulnerable.
So keeping kedusha, doing things that are LP kedusha, is really it's a protection.
It's a shmira. Yeah.
Shabbos influences the week that follows.
Shabbos influences the week that follows. So
like
the fule. Mm-hmm.
Like the higher the Shabbos, the deeper the Shabbos, the more likely it will be.
Right. And then also, it's mentioned by the Pelayowicz as well, that there are little sparks of Shabbos that do emerge during Chol as well. For example, he says davening during the week has qualities of Shabbos to it. It's also brought down about certain kinds of mitzvahs and things like that, but the quality of Shabbos, or when a person says in davening, Hayom Yom Rishon B'Shabbos, Hayom Yom Sheni B'Shabbos, we say that each day, the song of the day, we're mekayim the mitzvah of Zacharis Yom HaShabbos, remembering the Shabbos day, every day of the week, when we say that, beginning the Shir Shal Yom, that also brings Shabbos into the week.
You can't do Shomer Shabbos, right?
We can do Zachar. Yeah. Very good. Okay. Very good.
Right. Uh-huh. Nice.
Excellent.
This also say that how we conduct ourselves in the previous week as Hashpah.
On Shabbos. Right. And it's one continuous Hashpah of Chol to Shabbos and Shabbos to Chol. Hopefully, Lamala.
And I remember the whole thing applies to davening also. You know, if you're not getting where you want to be in your davening, then you have to be concerned with what you're doing when you're not davening.
Right.
One affects
right.
the other.
Right.
So Shabbos. And he compared, like you said, he compared tefillah to Shabbos.
Okay. Now we got one more on page 9. In the other forum, it's the year Tuf Resh Lamed Tes, the second mimer. It begins Balabas Esh Mitoch Hasneh. Balabas Esh Mitoch Hasneh. You have that there, Lady Yitzchak?
Yes.
What page is it in that one?
It's on Zion. It's right before the top page now.
Page Zion? You got it there, Michael?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This would be 1877.
1879. Tafresh Lama Tess. Come over here. Labasesh. In a flame of fire in the midst of the bush. I was talking about the Nevuah, the Moshe Rabbeinu God, what is known as the burning bush. The Midrash Ani Yeshena V'Libier. Midrash says from Shir Hashirim, I am asleep but my heart is awake. Kamo Shekosuv Kvar Mizeh. We have already written Ki Habora Yisborach, Hashem Yisborach, Nigla Eilav Mitoch HaChosha. God revealed himself to Moshe Rabbeinu from out of darkness. That means to say this. The Sneh was a low shrub. Hashem didn't appear to Moshe Rabbeinu in a grand, large tree.
but in a low shrub. And it represents the source of the Jewish people, it represents humility, a lot of different things. So God appeared in Hosha, in darkness, Lahodiehu, to make it known to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ki hagam shebnei Yisrael shruin begolus mikol makom, ha hislaha bus nimsa besochan, that even though the Jewish people are dwelling and residing in exile, but nonetheless, the fire and the passion of being a Jew is within. So it looks like it's just a snip, a low shrub, like we're just scratching by in the length of galus. That's what it looks like. But the truth is that in the panemius of things, the inner nature of things, that we are filled with a fiery passion to serve Hashem. We don't recognize it. And that's the idea of the fire on the bush, on the snet. It's a little bit similar to that first mimer where things look on the surface like they're one way, but really underneath the surface it's very different. Ki hagam, I'm sorry, rak, shehu nister. It's just that this fire of the Jewish people is hidden. So the Torah writes, Moshe sees that the bush is burning and it's not consumed. So Moshe turns aside and he says, Madua lo yivar hasne. Why doesn't the bush become consumed? That's what Moshe Rabbeinu asks. Listen to this beautiful pshat he says on this. Ki lefi rov ha hislahavus hakdusha shenimsa esel b'nei Yisrael. Because of the great fire of Kedusha, which is found in the Jewish people, hu davar pele, the nifla, it is a wonder. Eich miskayim hachoshech v'hahester. How could there possibly be darkness? Moshe Rabbeinu is looking at the situation, and what this means is, how could there possibly be a world that conceals Hashem's presence and conceals Kedusha when you have the Jewish people in the world? How could that be? The fire of Kedusha should completely take over. Madua lo yivar hasneh. How come that state of lowness, of darkness, is not just completely blown away by the Kedusha of Am Yisrael? It doesn't make sense. So what to us is a davar pashut, you know, it's a dark world, it conceals Kedusha, you can't see the Kedusha, that's how we look at it. Moshe Rabbeinu looked at it from just the other way around. How could it be? How could it possibly be that the fire of our holiness doesn't just light up the world? It's a pella. It's a wonder. That's really what should happen. So that's the pella of the burning bush. V'hu yoser pella. He says this is an even greater miracle. The noros, and an awesome thing, habor yisbora, of God, mi noros shel ha-ge'ula. It is even more of an awesome thing than redemption itself. The fact that the Kedusha of Klal Yisroel is contained and concealed and doesn't just spread like fire, that is a bigger wonder than the wonder of Geula, of when we actually come out of this place and it's revealed. V'havein, and understand this well. And we all know what that means. Yes, Mark.
What is
the nirmaz ba miras anshe kinesis hagadol. It's possible that this was the remez of the anshe kinesis hagadol when they said, "Hein hein no raosa, hein hein gevurosa." That they are his awesome things. They are his mighty things. So I think he means the noros and the gevuros. I don't know which one is which, but one of them refers to the fact that the fire of B'nai Yisrael is contained and it doesn't just spread forth and illuminate the world, and the other one is the light of redemption. Each one is its own power. I think that's what he's saying.
Expanding on thought a little bit further, how could the Kedusha of Hashem be hidden in this world?
Right. Now, on that, you know, one could say, on a philosophical note, that we know that Hashem held back himself so that there should be a world, the concept of Tzimtzum. We know that. That it's true, we don't understand that. It's incomprehensible. But we know that God can hold himself back. Right? But B'nai Yisrael could be held back. You know, the purpose of the world, Bishvil Yisrael, that fire is held. Where do we see that there's Tzimtzum there? Where do we see that that's contained? It's a Pella that is contained. This, a similar idea is really mentioned in the Derech Hashem by the Ramchal. And he says that really, in truth, the neshama of the Jewish person, which is so powerful, when it enters the body, it should completely elevate the body. Not only that, but each time a person does a mitzvah, any mitzvah, the kedusha is so great that the body should just get blown away. That's what should happen. He says, why doesn't it happen? And he says, because it's a gezeirah of Hashem, that God decreed that the neshama is to be held back and constrained. And it's only the decree of HaKadosh Baruch Hu which keeps the body, a physical body, and not blown away by the soul, just stamazoi, and also that keeps us like this every time we do a mitzvah. That God's gezeirah is holding it back, otherwise it would just completely overtake the group. It's a little bit similar to this. And the Sfas Emes says that's a pellet.
Yeah.
Our natural humility, right? Yashikoa.